Some people might say coffee doesn't need chocolate, but you're not some people. You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavors swirling together with cold brew, topped with velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles. That imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new caramel chocolate cold brew. It's a cold brew dream come true. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.
Inspiring interviews with today's top landlords. This is the Rental Income Podcast. And now, Dan Lane.
If you are brand new to rental property investing and you're trying to figure out how to get started, I wrote an ebook that'll show you exactly what to do. You can download it right now. It's totally free. Just go to landlordgift.com. We talk to a lot of people on the show that are making things happen, that are buying rental properties and have been really successful, but a lot of people give up. That they buy a rental property and for whatever reason, it doesn't work out and they end up selling their property. And I thought it would be interesting today to talk to a former rental property owner. He bought a few properties, he rented them out for a while, and then at some point something changed and he decided he didn't want to do this anymore and he sold off his portfolio. So I think this is going to be an interesting look into the head of a former rental property investor. So let's take a real quick break. We'll come back in 60 seconds and we'll meet Brian Dinkle from Kansas City.
Would you like to know the easiest way to create wealth and passive income with real estate? This is Marco Santarelli with Norada Real Estate Investments. Now you can access the best deals without the stress or hassle of having to find, renovate, or manage those properties. We save you time by providing you with passive income investment properties in some of the best U.S. markets. Learn more by downloading your free copy of The Ultimate Guide to Passive Real Estate Investing. There's no obligation and nothing to buy. Simply visit PassiveRealEstateGuide.com and get your free copy today. That's PassiveRealEstateGuide.com.
The first step in buying a rental property is to get pre-qualified. And I would suggest you work with a lender that specializes in working with investors because you don't want to get to closing and find out the money's not there and you can't close. The lender that I recommend is Chaley Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. She's got a special offer just for our listeners. She's offering to waive all of the pre-qualification fees if you mention Rental Income Podcast. Find out more today. Contact Chaley at ridgelendinggroup.com. That's R-I-D-G-E lendinggroup.com. Hey, Brian, welcome to the podcast. So you were a school teacher and you have the summer off and you're looking for a way to make extra money and you thought flipping a house might be a great way to make some money, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So what happened? So you found a house that you wanted to flip. You fix it up, you tried to sell it, and it didn't sell?
Yeah, we found this house, ended up spending a few months doing the work on it, did the work ourselves, and whenever we were getting ready to sell it, the realtor that I was using, when the comps were pulled on it, the comps were wrong, and she valued it way higher than it was actually worth, about $50,000 higher than it was actually worth. And all I saw was dollar signs. And so we listed that house for what she had thought it was worth and had quite a few people look at it, but no offers. And we ended up dropping the price quite a ways down to around, I want to say $190,000. And we started to get offers. But at that same time, the market was going downhill and the people that were writing us the offers weren't actually qualified to get these loans. And the closing fell through four different times.
Wow.
And after trying to sell it for a long period of time, I was forced to just try to stop the bleeding and ended up having to turn this flip into a rental. So it became my first rental completely by accident.
So like being thrown into it, like this buying that you didn't intend for the property to be a rental. So No. Like, did you have like a hard money loan or some kind of short-term, really expensive financing on the property?
I had a short-term loan through my bank, and I think I had, I don't remember if it was 9 months or a year to get the house sold.
Okay.
But it obviously didn't sell in that time period, so I had to refinance it into a to a loan. Okay. And it ended up being, I think I had a 15-year note on it. And okay. So that cost me some money, and the mortgage payment, because it was a 15-year note, you know, those are higher payments
than right.
30-year. And so the mortgage payment was more than I was prepared for, because, you know, I was expecting to have sold the thing.
Right.
And so I was just paying money right and left out of savings every month to keep trying to list
right.
this thing. And we ended up having to turn it into that rental. Like
all right. So you rent the house out, and I guess you're losing money every month on the rent, yes. right? Okay. Yeah. And so you get your first tenants in there. How did that work out?
Well, not really having any idea what I was doing, because I had not planned on being a landlord. I had talked to some people that were landlords, and they gave me a little bit of advice, you know, on how to get a rental agreement and all of that. So surprisingly enough, I did do this right. I went to an attorney and had them draw up the rental agreement for me.
Okay, good.
And then I started looking for renters, but I was trying to rent it out as fast as I could, and I ended up renting it for less than what my monthly mortgage payment was.
Wow.
I did screen the first tenant, but I don't think I screened well enough, because I did talk to their prior landlords and things like that, but these people didn't always pay the rent on time. They would complain about the late fees that they were charged if they didn't pay the rent on time. This was a house that had been completely remodeled. And whenever they first moved in, they decided that they were going to do some modifications to this house, unbeknownst to me. And they painted this brand new kitchen and dining room a fire engine red color.
Wow.
It wasn't good looking, I'll tell you that.
Now, how did you find that out? Like, were you doing inspections on a regular basis of the property? Like, how were you in there?
Well, I went over. They had called me. They called just all the times, at random times, for just kind of things that really weren't that important at the time. You know, they would call at 2 or 3 in the morning and say the air conditioner isn't cooling the way that it should and all of that stuff. So I would go over there. I'd call the air conditioning companies the next morning, and I would go over there with them to have them inspect the air conditioning. And I remember walking into the house and going upstairs and seeing the kitchen, and just kind of my jaw hit the floor. I'm like,
yeah.
Did you paint my kitchen?
Wow.
Yeah, doesn't it look good? No.
Wow.
Not at all. So that was
Yeah, so like those tenants sound like a nightmare, like that property is losing you money. Like it doesn't sound like you got off to a really good start buying rentals, no. But you learned from that and you bought a second property. How did that property work out?
That property actually worked out a lot better. The first one, like I said, the whole point of it was to be a flip. I had no other exit plan other than I'm going to sell this thing and make money off of it and just kind of keep going, right?
Right.
But this next one learned my lesson, and I knew that I needed to have more than just selling it as an exit plan. So whenever I bought this one, I knew that if it didn't sell within a few months of it being on the market, that I would be able to rent it out and make money renting it out. And I would be okay renting it out for a few years, you know, and just hold it as a long-term rental until the market changed or I was ready to sell it. And so that's how it worked out. And,
now, after that experience with that first property, losing you money, having nightmare tenants, what made you want to buy another rental?
Well, after that first year of the nightmare tenants, they moved out. I repainted the kitchen and everything and fixed the things that they had decided to modify. And the next set of tenants that went in there, they were really good people. They took care of the house like it was their own. If they needed something, they would call me up and go over there, and things would get fixed. And you'd walk in and the house was spotless. And I spent more time checking their background and calling their employers and calling their prior landlords than I had on the first ones. And that paid off. And I had a really good experience with those people. And that's just kind of how it went with the other tenants.
Well, you know, it's kind of unfortunate that you had a bad experience with the first tenants. And congratulations on not giving up at that point. Because like, you know,
I bet.
I mean, I'm a huge fan of rentals, but I think it's because I had a good experience early on where, you know, I to this day, I haven't had a bad tenant. So it's mm-hmm. been, you know, I think if I had had a bad tenant for my first tenant, I maybe would have said, this isn't for me. I need to get out of here. So, but congratulations on sticking it out. So you get your next property, you set it up better, where you're not improving it like a flip, right? Like you're yes. doing more making the house rent ready.
Yeah. So okay. whenever I would go in, like the first few flips that I did, I would set them up, you know, I would put nicer finishes in there, new hardwood floors, things like that. Cause like I said, the intent was to just sell it to people. Mm-hmm. But the next ones, like I said, I realized that I needed to have another exit strategy. And if I did have to rent it out, I didn't want to have to go in and refinish hardwood floor right. or anything like that if I happened to get bad tenants that didn't take care of the property. So the finishes that I put in were still nice, but they were, I guess, a little more durable than some of the other things. You know, if you scratch a laminate floor, it's not as big of a deal to replace
right.
that piece as it is to try to match up hardwoods and things like that. So I kept that in mind as I was doing things.
And so did the second property, was that profitable?
It was, yeah.
Awesome.
I don't remember what I would make off of it per month, but
okay.
when it finally sold, when I sold it down the road, when the market around here changed, I made money off of it.
Okay, so. That's good. So over the couple of years from when you first started, like over the next couple of years, you ended up buying 6 properties, right? That was your.
Yeah. Over, it was about, I want to say about a four or 5 year period.
Okay.
That ended up happening.
And so as you were buying those properties and they're all making money, did you kind of get addicted to the passive income? Were you like, this is great? Or was there enough trouble that you were thinking, you know, why am I doing this? Like, this isn't worth it.
It's nice whenever you look in your bank account and you see, you know, positive cash
yeah.
coming in.
Oh, it's the greatest. Yeah.
And, you know, you look at the numbers and your mortgage is getting paid down, you know, basically mm-hmm. by the tenant and things like that. So yeah, that was a good feeling.
So
that passive income is definitely very nice.
Yeah. So then what changed? So you ended up selling the properties off.
Yeah,
like what in your thinking changed to,
well, I don't have any rental properties currently, but I plan on getting more. But the reason that I don't have any is the market in the Kansas City area started to change again. So it was pretty hard to sell things. It was definitely a buyer's market back in those days, but it started to turn, and I looked at it as kind of an opportunity to, get rid of those properties and make, you know, a decent amount of money off of them.
Okay.
I wasn't sure if the, you know, you never know with the real estate market. I wasn't sure if it was going to go downhill again, but it was on the upswing. So I thought, well, things are moving up and it's becoming a seller's market. So, why not pull the trigger
yeah.
on it and unload those properties?
So you were buying those properties kind of around like the bottom of the market. And
yeah.
the market had, and so you sold these properties what, a year or two ago?
A couple years
ago. Okay, yeah. A couple years ago. So like, what kind of profit did you end up realizing on the units?
I was making, I want to say somewhere between $25,000 and $30,000 per unit.
Awesome. Awesome. So. Okay. Well, that's good. I mean, you made a really, really good return. I mean, it's
yeah.
like you got the cash flow for the time you owned it, and then
definitely.
You made a nice profit when you sold.
Yeah.
Now the market, I'm not 100% familiar with the Kansas City market, but I'm sure it's appreciated even more since you've sold, right?
Yeah, it definitely has. The market's still very strong. Yeah. Things sell almost as soon as they hit the MLS. A lot of times with multiple offers, and you know, there's a bidding war, and it's still pretty strong.
Yeah. Now, when I've talked to landlords that have been in this game for 40 years, 50 years, they always tell me the biggest mistake that they've made is selling properties, that they always thought they were selling it at the top, but the market always went higher over time. Are you kicking yourself at all selling these properties, or are you happy that you walked away with a nice profit?
Honestly, I wish that I would have kept some of them so that I was still, you know, they were still appreciating, but I guess hindsight's 20/20.
Yeah.
I would have been speculating.
Yeah, sure.
Not sold. So,
right.
But I'm glad I made profit. But yeah, I wish that I still had
them. Yeah. Yeah.
It'd be nice to list them now because I would have made more money off right. of them than I did then.
But so give me like some of the like big takeaways. Like what is something that you learned while you were doing this that maybe would help other landlords that maybe are thinking of getting started or maybe already own a few rentals?
If you're thinking of getting started, I would say, you know, definitely do your research, know the area that you're going to be buying in. Make sure that you have more than one exit strategy. You might plan on renting out your house, but make sure that it is going to rent for what you need it to. So know your numbers, know the numbers of the rents in the area. Because if it's just sitting there vacant, you're losing money.
Right, right.
Screen your tenants. Make sure that you check their backgrounds and call their previous landlords yourself if you can. I know some landlords that have, you know, a ton of properties. They have a property manager that does that for them. But if you're managing them yourself, make sure that you're calling their prior landlords, call yeah. their employers, all that stuff, and do those yeah, background
you know,
checks.
With your first tenants that were kind of the nightmare tenants, like it seems like you screened those tenants pretty well, right? I mean, is there anything looking back on it that should have been a red flag that these tenants maybe wouldn't have worked out?
Well, when I looked at the employment history, if I would have looked closer, he had bounced around from job to job to job. And he wasn't at his job or his employment for very long each time. And so that should have been a red flag. Yeah. I should have asked why. And I wasn't asking his employers all of those questions.
Yeah. You know, that's interesting. I don't think that's come up on the show before, but yeah, if someone is switching jobs a lot, that might be something to look into. Maybe they're not the most stable person, or maybe there's a reason why they're switching jobs a lot.
Yeah, and the thing was, I mean, it'd be one thing if you were switching jobs a lot and you were moving up.
Yeah,
every time you're switching,
right.
But they were all pretty much
a lateral,
the same level.
Okay.
Yeah.
So okay. Wow. Now, one thing that I think is interesting that you're doing today is that you've left being a teacher and you're now a full-time real estate agent and you are helping investors buy rental properties. So tell me about that. Like, so you obviously, even though you've sold your portfolio, you still believe in rental properties, and you mentioned that at some point you'll probably get back into it. So how is that working out with being a realtor?
It's going really well. In fact, most of my clients are real estate investors. A lot of them are real estate investors from out of state. Kansas City is a really good place to purchase investment properties, especially if you're looking to cash flow. But it's worked out really well.
Awesome.
I can help these people find properties in the different areas in Kansas City. There's some great areas and then there's some that are not so great.
Yeah.
I didn't intend whenever I became a realtor to just work with investors, but it's just kind of gone that way.
Yeah. Well, I think you've got an interesting insight. I mean, being an investor yourself, like you've been in the trenches, you've seen what works and what doesn't work. And, being from Kansas City, you know the area very well. So I think you're in a good spot.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And that is one thing. Being here helps a lot. There's a lot of the out-of-state investors. Kansas City's become a pretty hot market for out-of-state investors over the last few years. If you look on the internet, there's all sorts of information about why I should invest in Kansas City.
Yeah.
But you get a lot of brand new investors that are from the East and West Coast, where properties are definitely a lot more expensive than they are here. And they have the impression that they can just come in and buy anything and it's going to make them money. And so it takes a little bit of teaching them that's not really the right way to go. If you're planning on doing it, you just don't want to go buy some $30,000 property in some war zone. You've got to know the neighborhood. You've got to know your rents and all that. And getting some of them to really take the time to run the numbers has kind of been a little bit of a challenge. But I think once they start doing that and seeing all of the things that you need to do to properly, buy a property, I think they're pretty happy with things whenever it's all said and done. So
awesome. Well, if someone wants to reach out to you, if they're interested in investing in Kansas City, what's the best way for someone to get in touch with you?
They could go to my website, which is briandinklehomes.com, and all of my contact information is right there. You can also get a hold of me on Facebook at Brian Dinkle Homes and send me a message, and I'd be happy to help anybody out.
If you want to look up Brian's info, I've got a link to his website and his contact information. You can find it at rentalincomepodcast.com/episode182. Thank you so much for listening and subscribing to the podcast. If you are brand new here, we have new episodes every single Tuesday. You can get them delivered automatically just by subscribing on whatever podcast app you're listening to. Thank you so much. I really appreciate your support, and we'll be back with a new episode on Tuesday. My name is Dan Lane, and this has been the Rental Income Podcast.
Some people might say coffee doesn't need chocolate, but you're not some people. You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavors swirling together with cold brew, topped with velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles. That imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new caramel chocolate cold brew. It's a cold brew dream come true. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.